We continue with our theme this season, Land and Place, and we'll be featuring a few stories from the anthology Imagine 2200, Climate Fiction for Future Ancestors. Published by Fix, Grist's Solutions Lab. So let's lean in and listen to part two of The Lexicographer and One Tree Island by Akeem Alexis.
The woman slept between a village of rocks, tucked into the harsh, craggy mountains. She felt them before she saw them. The turquoise waters lashing against the mountains like waves covering a cargo ship at night. A sea snake was approaching. She had spotted only one white snake months ago, but it had never stopped. It just threaded the surface, depositing some seafruit along the way. But this was not the same snake. This one moved more purposefully. The mountains trembled more so. This one was coming up on land. She looked up as the wind whipped under the corvus' wings.
What a way to make an entrance,
she thought. The letter dropped near her legs as the corvu greeted her with thunderous call calls. This was only the second time she had the pleasure of the bird's acquaintance.
What is all this?
She asked, her head shifting between the bird and the snake.
Hello, Japani,
said the snake.
Our friend on One Tree Island has a message for you.
The woman looked at the elongated, limbless reptile, whose tail she could not find, for it had wrapped itself around the mountains, the rest of its body getting lost in the edges and cracks of the forest.
My name is not Japani. Who tell you that is my name?
The snake raised its head toward the corvu.
I'm very sorry,
he said.
It's just that I never got your name, and you reminded me of a beautiful flower from Gehara, the frangipani. So I tell them that I call you Japani.
She released a small smile and said, Well, that's kind of you, but my name is Sohura, so you can call me that. The snake and the corvu repeated her name in unison.
Sohura.
The sound reverberating through the lush green of the mountains, all the way down to the sea. She took the letter, read it quietly, then folded the letter back in two and said to the corvu,
I'm sorry, but I can't come with you. I'm going with the ship when it comes.
The snake sighed. The corvu flew down closer to Sohura.
Please, reconsider. You will be returning to your home. I know the island sounds very small, considering that it's just one tree surrounded by reef. But it's bigger than you think. And I have flown to Nukanan. I have listened to the songs of many Shoal tribes from the outer world. And it's true. They are building again, but we owe it to these islands to protect them. You may not have noticed, but your skin is becoming tougher. The soles of your feet as rugged as the mountains you call home. Island Homo sapiens are adapting too. Soon, you won't have to ride a ship or a snake to get around, and you'll be able to spend hours in these sacred waters, breathing through your skin like a salamander. Tony doesn't see it yet, but he is forming gills, small ones, on his cheeks and his back. The people of the new nation in Nukanan won't be able to adapt, and robots are incapable of such. In the turn of time, only the small islands will last. They just don't know it yet.
The snake nodded in agreement and said,
I'll take you home safely, Sahura, but the decision is yours.
Sahura released a long sigh. She missed Gahara. She missed how the sun treated the island like a special child. And the rain watered the souls of the people just enough to keep them hopeful. She was not surprised to learn that some piece of the island had remained, because Gaharians always said that God was a Gaharian and will spare them the full wrath of whatever woe was to come in the future. But she was curious about the outer world. She imagined the robots and the mixing of cultures, the beauty there might be in being welcomed to new beginnings.
I will visit your One Tree Island, only so to feel some familiar earth again. Just to break off a branch or something of Gahara, so I could carry it with me to New Conlon when the ship comes.
Tony sat in the tree and watched the Korbu scan the sky while the snake zoomed into One Tree Island with the woman on her back. She wore a swirly sable dress, covered up with a gray jacket, clothing which seemed to have withstood the years. Tony saw himself in her silhouette. He saw his hair in hers, holding steady against the wind as the snake sliced through the waters. He felt like he knew her. Her face as familiar as the seasons. The snake caressed the reef with her body and wrapped herself around the island as Sahura jumped off into the sand.
Jizz and Ajaz, well, look at this now,
she said, exclaiming at the tree, which worked its way up into the clouds. Tony grabbed his book and quickly wrote down, Jizz and Ajaz, meaning an expression of shock. Then Tony climbed down and approached while the Korbu introduced her.
Tony, this is my friend Sahura from the island out west. I've been calling her Japani all along, when she had a much more wonderful name.
Sahura looked down upon Tony, a mere teenager, maybe 19 or 20 to her 50-odd years.
But you was just a small man. How you make it here, alone, all this time?
She said.
When the sea did take back the land, I just followed the trees. Now I hear, but I'm really happy here, Tony said. You could be happy here too, you know. The tree real big, and you could sleep anywhere you want.
Sahura's ears perked up at his voice.
It real nice to hear another Gaharian talk again, she said. I really miss hearing another voice like mine. But I must tell the truth. I only stay in here until the ship come for me. I sure your friend the Korbu tell you about the shoals and their song, about the new nation, and how they coming to save we.
Yes, Miss Sahura, he does tell me everything. That is how we live. Nothing is secret between us here. That is how we thrive. But I don't think you should go to New Canaan. The shoals have a human element to them that tricky. And I trust the Korbu and his sightings. He went to New Conlon plenty times. And he even tell me that I am a lexicographer for the Gahara language, just like appointed lexicographers over in the New Nation.
Well, Mr. Lexicographer, I hear you. But I already make up my mind. I see enough hurricane and tsunami, enough death and destruction, enough wrath right here on this island. It have betterment across the seas. The people not living like before. We not living like before either. We're right here, living different. And the earth in and around this one tree moving different too. Miss Uhura, we have a whole new world right here. We could make so much more from it. The color of the sea changes all the time. It keep getting clearer and clearer. The reef keep expanding under moonlight with sightings of new mini islands by the Corbu every few months. I take a swim and realize I could stay underwater for much longer than before. It was like the water shape-shifted into air, and then the air shape-shifted into sky. I could breathe free and look into the deep blue. The other day, I swam down to take a look into the never-ending abyss, and nothing was there. Miss Uhura, no evidence of time before time. No wreckages or vehicles. No cell phones or debris or buildings that crumble and clatter under the waters. It was like the sea rid itself of the loathsome and offensive disease of human industries and vice. Time like it reset itself. But who know what's still lingering in the outer worlds? He paused and pulled out a large, succulent mango from his hair and began peeling it. Who know if they even have good food in New Kanlan? Sahura's memory of her time on the mountainous island leaked into her present. Everything he said was true. The water never tasted better. The fruits were plump, and the sea provided all the information she needed. This island, with its one tree and the snake and the Corbu, seemed even more prepared for the future. Every time she blinked, she felt like the reef expanded and the branches of the tree stretched before her eyes. And although she still wanted to see the outer world, she would put up no resistance to the boy's efforts to make her stay. She would bide her time and stick to her instincts, waiting for the ship to arrive, escorted by the shoals and sunlight singing, Sante Manete! It is midday, and the snake hisses heavily with her head cocked to the sky. Something is coming. Sahura and Tony rub their eyes and look down at the trembling waters. She had made herself comfortable on a branch near the canopy of the tree, stretching her legs and embracing the breeze. It's been months since she last spoke about the ship. In fact, she was enjoying herself here on One Tree Island. So much that the idea that some ship was coming to save her had momentarily slipped into her forgetfulness. But the Corbu came flying in at top speed, calling, and the singing shoals could be heard all the way to the emergent layer of the tree. The ship was coming! Tony and Sahura climbed down and stood near the barrier reef as the snake hissed louder than before. A ruckus. Modern ship could be seen breaking the horizon. It was as large as a cruise ship and as loud as a train, speeding across the ocean similarly to the cars that existed before the rapture. It didn't take long for the four inhabitants of the island to notice the strangeness that accompanied the ship.
It had been years since they had seen it or smelt it. The smoke, the clouds of blackness that messed up the air, and the flashes. What were those flashes? Cameras! Click, click, click. Could be heard as loud as the shoals. The people crowded the front of the ship to take pictures of the island, of Sahura and Tony, of the snake. Different languages could be heard spilling out into the air. Congested accents, thick like algae, fighting for room to untangle their sentences. It was mayhem. The ship approached and parked, barely touching the reef. Then a tall and seemingly anthropomorphic robot came forward.
We are here to collect you and bring you into future modernity.
The robot spoke melodiously, reaching out its hand, which kept extending and extending out of the ship, over the reef, over the snake, and toward Tony and Sahura, waiting for them to shake it. With furrowed eyebrows showing his discontent, Tony stepped backward, closer to the tree. The snake would not stop hissing. Sahura stood flummoxed, stuck between Tony and the mechanical hand reaching out to save her. She grew despondent. The people on deck grabbed hold of her memory and put the past back in front of her. The ship was a microcosm of smeared history repeating itself. These people perched garishly on the ship were not free. They were regressing, becoming past versions of themselves and their ancestors who sang beneath the sea. They were at the genesis of building catastrophes at the outer world, and Sahura wanted them gone. Gone back to where they came from.
I not going. I'm not leaving this island. Take your ship and your people and your smoke and your mechanic hand away and go. And anybody on the ship who tucked between mayhem and disaster, come off and come home. Who want to stay here could stay.
And as Sahura spoke, the branches of the tree extended. The roots roped themselves deeper into the sea. The earth stretched itself further, pushing the barrier reef out, pushing the ship back out to sea. The robotic arm retreated as the ship shook from left to right and the island expanded, while the shoals sang calypsos that turned the waves into a commanding force, pulling them back out into sea. The mounds on the island were flung wide open and new soil sprung out like fountains. The land swelled. The mango tree thickened, and new trees sprung up near the reef. And as the ship retreated, a dozen people jumped off into the waters and swam to the reef shouting,
"We want to stay. Help us. Please, help us."
And Tony listened to the shoals closely and realized that it was a keening, a warning all along. They were deceased islanders wailing through song. And he remembered what an old gentleman had said before Gahara was gone about the foreigners causing problems in the Caribbean. He had called them invaders.
NMS, them duel does come back to we. Them soul don't care about we. They just want to use we. Sante manete.
Tony had asked what the word meant, and the memory of its meaning hit him like a headache. He climbed up the tree and grabbed his notebook. holding on for dear life as the island made a country of itself and wrote, Sante mane te, meaning without humanity, without mercy. And the island expanded tenfold as new snakes and shoals surrounded the barrier reef, watching the ship get cast back to the outer world by the waves.
Thank you for listening to our episode. The Lexicographer and One Tree Island was written by Akeem Alexis, performed by Bethany Harris, sound designed by Gabe Castro, and produced by Dusky Projects. Support Dusky Projects and our coven of spooky black chicks with a rate and review, or by making a tax-deductible donation through the link in the bio. Your contribution helps us continue to feature new authors and new scary stories. Till next time.